Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer. John chapter number 9, we're going to read the first 7 verses this morning. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Amen. Lord, I pray that you'd help me, anoint me, use me for thy glory. Thank you for these that are gathered in this place, those that are around some device. They may be watching, they may be listening. Lord, I thank you for their participation. Thank you for those that will download this sermon in the future. Use it for your glory. Use our church, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, by the way of introduction, I want to say to you that according to the biblical record of John chapter number 8, the previous chapter, the Lord had taken his rest or his sleep around the Mount of Olives, most likely there in the garden that is known as the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says that he took his rest there that night, and early the next morning, the beginning of chapter 8, the Bible says that he went back to the temple there in Jerusalem to teach and preach to the people that would hear what he had to say. Now, the Bible says that the things that he would preach or teach were things that confounded even the wise. There were things that the Lord said that even irritated many, many of the people that gathered that day. There were some that were under conviction and turned to the Lord for salvation, but many of these possessed the spirit of condemnation and the hatred and the malice and the ill will that they had towards Jesus of Nazareth is very evident and referred to and seen many times in the previous 2 or 3 chapters. You remember that the man by the pool of Bethesda was healed. Jesus healed him on the day of the Sabbath day, and since then the Bible says that they had determined with all their might that they were going to slay this man of Nazareth named Jesus. And so the malice and the ill will had been building for some time. And Jesus had been teaching them that he was not only Son of God, but that he is God. He had been teaching them that him and his Father are one. He had been teaching that if you were going to go to God's heaven, you'll go God's way. And God's way is through God's Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, that kind of preaching, that kind of teaching to a lot of people is called narrow-mindedness. I don't mind being called narrow-minded in some issues because the Bible is narrow-minded on some issues. And so they said, this man is narrow-minded. He says that there is only one way. He says that he is the Christ, the Messiah. He is the only one that can save us from our sins. And so there was this envy and jealousy and hatred and strife and malice and even this desire to kill him while he was there in their presence. And because their eyes and their hearts and their minds were blinded, they could not see their spiritual need of salvation. And so Jesus is teaching so they might know, they might realize that they need to be born again. Now, the Bible says that Jesus spoke to them about being the light of the world. And he'll mention that again. If you remember, we read that in verse number 5 of this chapter, where Jesus once again proclaimed that I'm the light of the world. You are in darkness. You are in your dark sins. But yet I am the light of the world. Jesus had proclaimed that no matter if you're blind spiritually or if you're blind physically, I can touch and heal you. Even if you're blind from both conditions, it's no problem for me whatsoever either. And so go with me, number one, write this down. Let's look at the guile of man. The guile of man. Notice in verse number 59 of chapter 8, we've got to read 59 before we get in John 9. The guile of man. Now, for you ladies that say, good, he's preaching on men today, let back up and let's explain what I'm meaning when I say man. You understand that man was made from the dust of the earth. Can I get a witness? You also understand that woman was made from the rib of a man. Therefore, Adam called this female woman. I believe that when he saw her, he could not find that intimate relationship, that longing for that fellowship with animals and trees and those things. But when God supplied a woman that filled that need that a man has, that he looked and said, "Woe man. Woe man." Therefore, she is called woman. And so when I say the guile of man, I'm talking about mankind. And so notice in verse number 59, the guile of man. Then took they up stones to cast at him, Jesus. But Jesus hid himself, and he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Many of the people that had heard our Lord teach and preach at this time were offended. And they claimed that the Lord was a blasphemer. They claimed that the Lord had committed this great sin of blasphemy. And the Bible says that he deserved, according to their knowledge of the Scripture, according to their right and wrong theology, this man, because he blasphemed God, he deserved to be stoned to death. They were trying, as you know, in chapter 7 and chapter 8, to find fault with Jesus Christ. They tried with their sly questioning. They tried with their cunning and crafty devices to try to twist and trick the Lord Jesus Christ. But they could find no fault in him except one, they thought. And that was the sin of blaspheming God. Preacher, how did he blaspheme God? According to their philosophy or theology, he claimed to be God. And according to the law of Moses in the Old Testament, that anyone claimed to be God deserved to be stoned to death. They thought that their craftiness had finally paid off. They thought that their slyness had finally gave them victory. And now the verdict was given that he was guilty, and the ruling was justified when they declared his sentencing to be stoned to death. I'm amazed that these Pharisees, Sadducees, and Jews act so holy. They act like things were so sacred to them, but here they are in the courtyard of the very temple, and they don't mind taking a man's life right there next to the holy place. That shows you the envy and the strife and the malice they had towards Jesus. I'm talking about the guile of man. The Bible says here that they wanted to stone him, but notice in verse number 59 that you can't stone what you can't see. Come on, somebody help me today. You cannot stone. Is that nursery mic on today? All right. You cannot stone what you cannot see. The Bible says that when they took up stones, Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. I don't know if Jesus made himself invisible. He could have done that because he's God. I don't know what he did. I don't know if they had so much envy and strife, and they were just covered by it, and they were just saturated with it, that they couldn't see nothing but hatred and malice and strife and killing, and they didn't notice that the Lord even walked out. That's a shame that a while ago some of you may have not even noticed that Jesus passed by this place. These people didn't even notice that he slipped out. You can't stone what you can't see. And yet, Brother Keith, if he had remained there, if he would have remained there in the courtyard while they were getting ready to pelt him with those stones until all his bones were broken, until his last breath was taken away, but what can a rock, what can a stone really do to the Rock of Ages? And so for his own safety, because it was not yet his time to die, and he would not die by stoning, it was prophesied he would die of crucifixion. The Bible says that not one of his bones would be broken. If he was stoned, many of his bones would have been broken that day. He must be crucified. And so he slipped down. Now notice number two, the Bible says that the last two words are verse 59. Somebody say that out loud, the last two words. Pass by. The Bible says while they're passing judgment, Jesus passed by. Are you with me today? This will help you. When Jesus was there, they passed judgment, but Jesus passed by. So number two, it leads not only to the guile of man, but the grace of the Lord. Look at with me, verse number one, keep your Bibles open, and as Jesus passed by. Wait a minute, verse 59 says he's passing by. And so the continuation is found in the word and. Now, I want you to understand in your King James Bible, when you see a chapter numbered like it is 9, that was not ordained of God. When you see that these verses are numbered, that was not ordained of God. What is ordained of God is the actual words, the verses. Man, the translators, put these in the chapters, in the verses. And so what chapter 9 is a continuation of chapter 8. Therefore, we have the English word and. The Bible says he passed by, and as Jesus passed by. You've got to understand this. He is in the process of leaving this hostile environment. He is in the process of passing by while they are passing judgment. When they're ready to stone him, he is leaving. He is leaving the courtyard. And while he is in the process of leaving, listen to me, the courtyard for his own safety, the Bible says that while he passed by, he saw a man which was born blind. We're talking about the grace of God. When his own life, physical life, is in danger, he cared about the life of someone else. While he hung on the cross, Brother Albert, he said to that thief on the cross, he said, remember me when I enter into thy kingdom. And yet, not worried about his own life, the own blood that it was gushing from his body, he looked at that man and he said, today thou shalt be with me on paradise. Here he is, going to be stoned himself, but he had time for an old blind sinner. Come on, give me a little help today. Oh, I'm talking about the grace of God. I'm talking about the grace of God. If it had been you and I, we'd been running for safety. If it had been you and I, we'd still been hightailing to die there a mile or two down the road. But Jesus, while he was passing by, he saw. He saw. This morning, Jesus passed by, and he saw every one of your needs. He saw every one of the reasons why you're empty this morning. He saw every reason why you're not in this service right now. He saw every sin that's possessing and saturated your life and your heart. He knows it all this morning. When Jesus passed by, he always sees the need. We're talking about the grace of the Lord. Notice that anytime the Lord would do a miracle in someone's life, it was all because of his grace and mercy. Never did he do one miracle, Miss Tiffany, because somebody deserved it. One amen. Can I have another amen? Do you not agree with that? There's not one miracle in the four books of the gospel that Jesus performed because somebody deserved it. It was all because of his grace and his mercy. It was all because of his grace towards this blind beggar. The Bible says that he never did one miracle because someone deserved it, but all because of his grace. Now I want you to listen to these statistics with me. In the book of John, there are 8 recorded miracles that Jesus did while he was on the earth ministering when he was 30 to 33 and a half years old in his earthly body. 8 miracles John records. You'll find more miracles in Matthew, more miracles in Mark, more miracles in Luke. You'll find more parables in Matthew, more parables in Mark, more parables are recorded in Luke. You find less parables in the book of John and less miracles recorded in the book of John than all 4 of the books of the book of the gospel. And this book has only 8 miracles that Jesus did. This is miracle number 6. Now, I like numbers, and you may not understand what I'm saying to you, but 6, according to the Bible, is the number of man. Man was created on the 6th day. The number of man or the beast is 666. And it so happens that the miracle number 6 that Jesus performed is concerning a blind man who is a picture, mind you, of you and I when we were blind spiritually. It is a picture. This man is a beautiful picture. He is a perfect picture of the world that is blinded by sin. They are in the darkness of iniquity and transgression. It is a perfect picture of where you and I were before Jesus passed by our way. So this is number 6 of the 8 recorded miracles. Now watch this. Listen closely. According to my count, out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the 4 books of the one gospel. It is not the gospel of Matthew, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew just got to record it. It's not the gospel of Mark. Mark just got to record the gospel of Jesus. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. 4 men got to record different instances of the gospel. But I want to tell you this, that out of the 4 books of the one gospel, there are 33 recorded miracles. Watch this. Listen to me, young folks. Now, Jesus did many other miracles. I know that. But we only have 33 recorded miracles in the 4 books of the gospel. 33. Out of those 33 miracles, 17 of those miracles deal with someone's health. 17 out of 33 miracles is where Jesus restored someone's health. Whether they were dumb, they could not speak, they could not hear, they could not see, they could not walk, or even when they were dead like Lazarus was, 17 out of 33, Jesus healed somebody's health. Out of the 17 miracles that Jesus healed someone's health, 4 of those miracles, Jesus touched blinded people and made them see again 4 times. Do you know in the Old Testament, this is very relevant, why Jesus did this? Do you know in the Old Testament the prophecy was that only God could heal a man that was born blind? It didn't say that only God could heal a man that was blind. There are some folks that had sight for a while and then they were blind. Joseph, was that young lady blind last night that walked across the stage? They helped her cross. Was she blind? You don't know. But it looked like she was the way they helped her cross. But I'm telling you, but the Bible says, prophecy was, God would be the one and the only one that could heal anybody that was born blind. And the second thing it says in the Old Testament, that the Messiah would be proven if one of the miracles he did was to heal a man born blind. He has been telling them he's the Messiah. Are you with me? He's been telling them he is God, and he is fixing to perform the one miracle that the Bible says proves that a man is God. The healing of a man born blind. 4 times the Bible says he healed men that were blinded. You remember blind Bartimaeus? Now watch this now. Out of the 33 recorded miracles, we're talking about the grace of God. Don't lose me. We're talking about the grace of God. Out of the 33 recorded miracles, 18 of them happened because somebody requested the Lord's help. This is important. 18 out of 33 miracles happened when somebody begged or requested, "Help, Lord. Help, God. Help my son. Help my daughter. Help me." 18 out of 33. That leaves what? 15. The other 15 miracles happen when no one ever asked Jesus to help them. Brother Keith, that's a beautiful picture of just the grace of God. Listen to me, you and I wouldn't ask Him for the Lord's help when He passed by our way. Can I get a witness? We were blind. We were trying to get help from other areas, whether it was the bottle or the drugs or immorality or whatever it was. We tried to seek help other ways. But Jesus came by because of His grace and because of His mercy. He passed by our way. Hallelujah. So this is one of those miracles where this man didn't even ask for help. Not specifically to Jesus. He was asking for it, but he wouldn't ask Him for the help that Jesus could give. Because he was blinded, Brother Allen, of that kind of help. I sat there last night, very top of that auditorium, and I looked around, and I can't help but get around a large group of people and just look around and wonder how many people's on their way to hell. I always do that. I always ask God to give me a heart for people that don't even know. And I thought, I said, Lord, your Bible says that there's only a few that are saved. There's only a few that know the Lord. I said, Lord, chances are multitudes in here are lost on their way to a devil's hell. I said, Lord, I sure would like to have about 10 minutes on that podium. I'd preach best I could for 10 minutes. And I'd give an invitation call and I would name the name of Jesus 1,000 times. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, there's people that reaching for help, but they don't realize where the real help comes from. So what do? We go tell them. Come on, somebody help me. We go tell them. Amen. So there's these miracles here. 15, I think it's a picture of the great compassion Jesus has for the needy. It's a picture of the great desire Jesus has to help, to heal, to mend. This man, no doubt, because of his blindness, sought for help and mercy, but not from the Lord. He was not seeking after God, but God was seeking for him. He wasn't reaching out to God, but God was reaching out to him. He was blind, and therefore he could not get to the Lord, but the Lord got to where he was. Hallelujah. He begged for the things that he thought he needed, those things that he thought could help him get by with his condition. But Jesus passed by with the power to change his condition. This blinded man thought, if I could just get my hands on some things to help me deal with this trouble in my life. But Jesus said, all you need, son, is for me to put my hands on you. Hallelujah. This blind man no doubt thought if he could only change his situation, it would be a little better in his life. If he could change his situation, it would be a little more bearable. But Jesus passed by and he had the power to change him forever. The blind man cried out, I need new eyes. Jesus said, no, son, you need a new life. The blind man said things would be different if I could only see. Jesus knew that the only way things would be different if he would get born again. Others passed by and said, this man needs a washing of water. But Jesus knew what he really needed was washing by the blood. This is a glorious story where a man was in darkness, but he met the light of the world. Let me amen for some of you who don't know how to do it. Amen! Hallelujah! A glorious story of a man that was in darkness that met the light of the world. The world sings the night the lights went out in Georgia, but this man will sing the day when the light got turned on. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, his song was changed. What did Brother Keith? Brother Keith says, well, you sang them old songs, he said, but now my song's been changed because my life's been changed. Thank God for His grace. I'm glad we're not saved by works, aren't you? I'm glad we're not saved by being good. We're not saved by being church members. We're not saved about doing this or not doing that, but we're saved by grace. Thank God for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the power of the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But God, who is rich in mercy, in His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, and has raised us up together, and made us to sit together with Christ in heavenly places, that in the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that we should walk in them. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. I'm glad it's not by keeping the law, aren't you? The law says do and live, but grace says believe and live. The law says that we are not worthy, but grace says we've been made worthy. Come on, are you going to help me today? Are you going to help me today? The Bible tells us that law says if you sin, you die. But grace says if you'll only believe and trust me, you'll live eternally. Law says it's only for the good, but grace says whosoever will. Under the law, the sheep had to die for the shepherd. But under grace, the shepherd died for all us sheep. Hallelujah. Thank God for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. While Jesus passed by, he saw a man. Oh, that is the grace of the Lord. Do you remember God's grace in your life? You remember that you were a blind man spiritually begging for help, begging for that answer, begging for that fulfillment in your life, something to fill that void, that emptiness, but Jesus passed by. Has anybody been there? I've been there. Amen, Brother Wynn. I've been there, Daryl. I was there. Hallelujah. Some of you forget where you've been. It is a terrible place to be as a Christian when you forget Chris Shaw used to be a drunk. When you forget Wendell Harris used to be nothing but a drunk. Keith Roberts, nothing but a drunk. Some of you shared your testimony. Some of you nothing but drug heads. And when you forget where you were and where you are now, shame on you. You ought to shout, glory be to God. I once was blind, but now I see. I was dead, but now I've been made alive. Instead of having needle tracks up my arms, now I raise my hand and say, glory, glory be to God. Instead of carrying a six-pack after Friday's job work, now I carry my Bible and I tell folks you don't have to be drinking that garbage from hell. Now he can be drinking new wine. Hallelujah. Amen. I got saved and I ain't got over it. And some of you might already got over it. You need a fresh glimpse of Calvary. You need to do that little boy that was adopted by the king and queen. He's nothing but old, poor little boy. His had no shoes. His socks had holes all in them. His clothes had holes in them that was tattered and torn and dirty. Had no parents. He lived under bridges, lived in cardboard boxes, just tried to get by. And one day a beautiful royal chariot came by, and there were servants that ran along with the horses and the chariot, and they stopped, and that little boy was in amazement to see such a grand scene. And they opened that door, and out stepped the king. And he went to that little beggar boy, that dirty boy, who the world said he's no profit to anybody. He's no good. He's no good to society. But the king saw his need. And the king had the ability to change his condition. And the king had grace. And he asked that little boy, would you like to be our little boy? And that little boy was adopted by the king and queen. The story goes that one day he's late for dinner, and his father, who is the king. See, when you get adopted like we do when we get saved, we're adopted children. All of a sudden, your father, he's the king of kings and the Lord of lords. And the servant went upstairs to retrieve the fella for supper. And he opened the door, and the little boy was standing there with those old tattered clothes, Brother Chris, and he was standing in front of the mirror with all those old clothes he once had on when his new father found him. And his tears were coming down his face. The servant kind of closed the door just to watch. The little boy went over there and started to change, so the servant went back down and said, Master, he's coming. That little boy came back down with his clothes of splendor and royalty that now he possessed. His robe had been changed. It was no longer dirty and torn and tattered. Oh my, I'm fixing to run around the building. And he came down, and the servant told his dad, the king, what had happened. And after that meal, his dad pulled his son close to his bosom and said, Son, I don't want to embarrass you, but I really want to know, what was you doing up there? I heard you had them old clothes. I didn't know you still had them old clothes. And with tears in his eyes, he looked at his father who loved him, who gave him a new life, who cared for him when no one else cared, who saw his need and just didn't turn his head. But he passed by and he saw. And he said, Father, I don't want to ever forget where I came from. Some of you need to look in the mirror. You need to get in this mirror right here. And you need to see you was wicked. You were vile. You deserved to hit hell wide open. You deserved it. But the king passed by. And you couldn't get to him because you was, as Brother Keith sung, you was kind of floundering around in the dark because you couldn't see. But the light shown His grace and mercy. And now you're children of the light. Glory be to God. This church will die on the vine if its members forget where they came from. I never have trouble with anybody in this church being whatever it may be if they keep in mind where they used to be. They don't get arrogant. They don't get cocky. They don't get mean. They don't get bitter because they realize, hey, just to be a saved Christian is more than I deserve. Amen. Now let's close this. We see the guile of man. We see the grace of the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that when we're wicked and vile and dirty, nasty, that it doesn't affect the beauty and the glory of the Lord? Light can never be contaminated. Light rays can shine through a dirty window, but the light is never contaminated by the dirt on the window. The grace of the Lord. And then notice the giving of sight. Read verse number 5 with me, and verse 6 and verse 7. The giving of sight. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Amen. Write these three things down. There's three things involved in this man receiving sight. I think it's pretty funny. The first thing involved is spitting. Spitting. The Lord's not chewing tobacco. So you that chew tobacco, well, the Lord didn't know. He spit. The second thing is stirring. And the third thing is spreading. Spitting, stirring, and spreading. The Bible says, Taylor, that Jesus saw the need of this blind man, had compassion. He knew his need. And we're going to study the remainder of this chapter because there's a whole lot more to this story. But the Bible says that Jesus did something very unusual. He spit on the ground. Then second of all, that spit that was now on the dirt, he took his fingers and he stirred it. He mixed that dirt with that spit so that it might develop into clay or mud. And then he took, I don't know, two fingers, one finger, all four fingers, he smeared it, and he went towards that black. Don't you know some folks around there says, this man has lost his mind. This poor guy, is blind as a bat. He can't see to do anything. He needs help. And here comes this Jesus. Now, I bet the Jews really liked this. They were thinking, well, we told you this was a madman. We told you he was of the devil. Look at him. He's got mud that he made from his own spit, and he's going towards that blind man with it. And the blind man, can you see him? All he heard was this voice that he had never heard before. And it just boomed through his eardrums and it went deep in his heart when he heard, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And the blind man thought, I don't even know what light looks like. Ever since I was born, I've never seen the light of day. I've never seen a flower. I've never seen what my brother, what my sister looked like. I've never seen my mama. I've never seen the face of my daddy. I've heard about this temple, this great temple that Herod had built for us Jews, and I've never even seen it. Why, I've never even seen a tree. I've never even seen grass. I've never seen a leaf. I've never seen the effects of the wind when it whistles through the forest. I've never seen the Sea of Galilee. I've heard it.
I've never even seen a fish. I've never seen anything. I sure hadn't seen the light of day. Don't you know? Of all the things that he wished he could see, I'm sure after so many years, he was an adult man, we'll find later, that if he could just see, Brother Keith, just the light of day. It's so dark. All I see is black. It's so dark. If I could just have 1 minute to see light. And all of a sudden, he hears his voice. I'm the light of the world. He's wondering where this man's at. And all the time, Jesus spits, stirs, and approaches that man. And the very thing that we would say you shouldn't do to a blind man is make him more blind than what he is. He don't need dirt in his eyes. He can't see anyway. But the Bible says that my ways are not your ways. And as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above yours. And Jesus takes his fingers and he reaches out that man in darkness and he rubs that mud in his eye. Then he rubs it in his eye. Maybe he thought maybe there's some new ointment these doctors have discovered. And Jesus rubs that dirt in his eyes real good. And he can't see how foolish he looks. But everybody around there looks, and here's a man with mud all over his eyes that was made from a man's slava. He didn't care how foolish he looks. He just wants to see light. When I got saved, September 8, 1996, and if you really got saved, you didn't care what anybody thought. You didn't care how foolish it looked. You didn't care who laughed. You didn't care who made fun. All you wanted was to get out of your darkness. He didn't care. Laugh if you will. I got to get some help. Laugh if you will. I got to have some help. So Jesus says to him, now in order to be healed, you're going to have to go wash in the pool. And the man, without hesitation, takes his old self with his old muddy eyes. And man, I don't know, I guess someone had to help him. I don't know, I would probably say, and this is my guess, that Jesus probably helped him to that pool. Glory be to God. And Jesus led him to where he needed to go, and he got down on his knees and he reached down with his hands and he felt water. And he reached down there and he began to splash. Splash. And then he started doing this. And he kept his eyes closed because he didn't want to get anything in his eyes. And he wiped. And when he thought his eyes were finally clean of debris and dirt and mud, he opened his eyes and he saw the one thing that he's been longing to see. And that was light. And I'm not talking about daylight. He saw the light. The light. I hope that you can relate to what I just said to you. If you die and go to hell, if you're in this auditorium, or if you're watching this service, or if you hear this message, you die and go to hell, you're a foolish person. Jesus can take your blinded eyes. You say, I can't see anything wrong with that. I can't see anything wrong with me doing this. It's not hurting that many people, preacher. You can't see because you're blind. let Jesus take his water. The Bible declares itself the water. And let him wash your eyes. And do as the Apostle Peter said one day when Jesus was washing feet. Peter said, "You're not going to wash my feet, Jesus." Jesus said, "Well, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. You're not mine." Peter said, "Whoa. Lord, not only wash my feet, wash my hands, wash my face, wash me all over, Lord. The Lord can take his water and wash you today. And you'll see for the first time what I'm crying about because I'm so overjoyed. The light. The light." And you'll sing like you've never sung, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved an old wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Oh, when Jesus passed by, there's always a change in somebody's life. He's passing by this morning. Are you blind? Come. It's time for you to come. Say, "Lord, I'm blind. I've been a church member a long time, but I'm still blind. I'm on my way to hell." Today's your day. If you're watching, today's your day to be saved. If you're blind and God has directed you to watch this service today, if you're blind, Jesus loves you. And today could be the day where you see the light for the first time, and it'll change your life forever. I'm glad I've seen the light. Amen. I wonder if that blind man wrote that song. "I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night." Hallelujah. I saw the light. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and he's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in his death, his burial, and his resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.